We're in lesson 47 in the book of Ephesians, and if you will, be turning to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. And we looked at, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And the thing about this is to perfect the saints is the purpose for the work of the ministry. And many of us has been part of the ministry work for a long, long time. And we also know there's laboring in that work. Once you start a church, local church, the work is already there. Now you're looking for people to labor and all. But the ministry purpose is to bring the body of Christ to edification to the fullness. That's why we meet here locally. We don't meet, you know, individually out together. We meet locally. And be turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you think about this for a second, the body of Christ, the appropriate term for the body of Christ is the church, which is his body. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 27. Paul says this to the Corinthians. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in what? Particular. The local church is not the body of Christ in its completeness. You understand that, don't you? We have Leslie from Florida is up here, and she has a local church in Florida. Now, is she a part of our local church? But she is part of the body of Christ. Amen? So that's the completeness of the body of Christ. And if you think about it, the body of Christ, what he's talking about here, it's a local manifestation. So the body of Christ is manifested, I can't even talk this morning, in its locality. You have local bodies of Christ everywhere. And we know, and you know, guys know, people probably all over the world has local body of Christ that believes the same thing you believe. In Ephesians chapter 4, he is talking about the edification of the body, the local church. And that's what we're concentrating on here, the local church. How does it affect you? How do you and I grow and believe? You know, some of the passages that Paul, we've been going through with Paul, it seems like he's talking about the overall body of ages to come. We know there's an eternal church out there, don't we? We know that there was a church in the wilderness. We know that there's a kingdom church. But we also know that there's this church, the body of Christ. And what is God building today, guys? The body of Christ. Amen. And that's through the Apostle Paul that we think about. Now, if you're going to edify somebody, let me ask you this. Are you going to edify somebody that's already dead and gone? Yeah or nay?
No.
How can you? When Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, he's not talking about the people that's done dead and gone with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we think about our loved ones all the time, you know, thinking about, you know, your moms and dads and brothers and sisters that's gone on. You can't edify them. They're with the Lord. How great is that? But this is talking about here, talking about now, and how can you get edified? And he can't be talking about the body of Christ in its totality, because the body of Christ is made up of people that are on the earth too, isn't it? Still living, and people that are dead and gone. Right? You know, we're that's the whole body of Christ that's in heaven with the Lord. Aren't the ones that dead and gone that believe Jesus Christ died and buried and rose, aren't they members of the body of Christ? Mm-hmm. They are, aren't they?
Yeah.
Praise God, hallelujah. You know, it's going to be a wonderful thing. But Paul, let me ask you this, isn't Paul a member of the body of Christ? Where's he at today? Okay. You know, that type of thing. Didn't he write to the body of Christ while he was still living and stuff? So we have words and books and stuff that can do that. But if you die tonight and go on to be with the Lord, will you cease being a member of the body of Christ? No. So now that's where you start to go up there. But today, you are members of the body of Christ in particular. That's what's going on right now. And that's very, very important. Let me ask you this. You ever heard of the term Triumph Church? The Triumph Church. Triumphant Church. And they talk about, that's called the Triumph Church up there. They're already up there. And then there's a church of militant down here. Have you ever heard that? Some of you shaking your head and that type of thing. Well, the definition of a triumph church is this. Members of the church who have died and are regarded as enjoying eternal happiness through union with God. So the people that's gone on and died, okay, and they're up there with the Lord, we look at that as a triumph church. They're already in victory. You know, they're already with the Lord. But compared with the church militant, that is those Christians on earth who are engaged in a continuous war against evil and the enemies of Christ. That's, if you think about it right now, that's who you are. And you might be thinking, oh man, I'm not no militant, because what do you think going on in your mind what militant means? You know?
Upheaval.
What is it?
Upheaval
and all that stuff. But isn't it very militant today? If you think about it, there's people out there that does not believe the same thing you and I believe on. It's very militant towards you. You know? And at the same time, I've been very militant towards them. Or a lost person. Or someone that says they're saved but in a denomination. Because, you know, I'll give you some leeway to a little bit, and then you start stepping on my Bible and start stepping on my doctrine, and guess what's going to happen? I'm not going to draw a sword and cut your head off, that type of thing. But I will give you some words. So think about this. We live in a day that you are not, if you're not a militant for the truth, you'll get overrun by the devil with like a steamroller. And if you don't believe that, I think some of you have, and you've been run over several times, and you stood up to it now, and you say, you know, I'm not getting run over no more. Because if you don't stand for truth and stand for the Word of God right and divided, you're going to get run over. It's coming. It's going to happen. A lot of people might be sitting saying, oh, that's never happened to you. I bet it has with loved ones. I guarantee you, some of you right now don't talk about the Word of God rightly divided around your family no more, because you know how bad it is. You can't sit with them. You know? You that type of thing. But militant. What do you think militant? I'm going to give you a definition of militant. What do you think it is?
Think of the word attack.
You think of the word attack?
Aggressive.
Military.
Ready to fight.
Ready to fight. What is it?
Complete jerk.
But here's what the word militant means. Fighting, combatant, serving as soldiers. The church militant is the Christian church on earth, which is supposed to be engaged in a constant warfare against its enemies, thus distinguished from the church triumphant in heaven. So you think about, this is why I love about Right Division. When you teach words that means what they say and say what they mean, it does not mean what you was brought up for it to mean. You know what I mean? Like we talk about bishop all the time. Many of you have been stung by that word. Many of you have been, you know, just, I'm not going it. But that's a good Bible-believing word. And you have to rightly divide the word of truth. Isn't that an educational process that we do? And I know what many of you are thinking right now. Who is this guy up there telling me? Trying to teach me about education. There's educators in here right now that can blow me plumb out of water. And I've got friends that's got 3 doctorate degrees, you know, that I talk to all the time and talking about the Bible and talking about words. And you know what? Keep it simple. Keep it simple and keep it plain. But you think about that word militant, if you will. We need to be militant. You know, Brother Leon comes on, every time I talk to him on Sunday, he thinks about each and every one of us in here, about the warfare that we're going against. A constant battle. If it's not the religious system, it's political system. If it's not the political system, it's children. you know, family members, you know, jobs. You're always going to have something constant coming at you. But this seriousness about standing for the Word of God, right, divided. Now, that's where I draw the line. You know, the Bible is the King James Bible for me. I don't use any other Bible for the authority. The gospel is the gospel that saved, that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again. There's no other gospel that saves today. Now, you've been taught there was, right? Mm-hmm. But now that you say, wait a minute, this is what God's doing in the dispensation of grace, wouldn't it be best to go put your mind and put who you are in what God is doing today? You know, we talked about the will of God in the past and all that stuff. If you really want to know what God's will is, what do you got to do? Pray for it. You know, watch Channel 51.3. You know, that type of thing. No, what do you got to do? You got to get in the book. You got to believe what the Bible's to you. Anybody have heard Billy Sunday?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He's long before my time. You know,
Just a little.
I have gone through his hometown over there in Indiana and stuff, driving and stuff. But he used to say, I'm going to fight liquor till I have no fist. He says, I'm going to club him till I have no arm. He said, and then I'm going to bite it until I don't have no teeth, and then I'm going to gum it till I die. Now, would you look at him and hear him say, man, that guy's, you know, that's militant. You know, that's standing for something he was totally against of. And one time, I think it was a professional baseball player. You know, that type of thing. And he gave all that stuff up and started getting in the Word of God and started believing that. And, you know, what's wrong with you and I doing that? I know what's wrong. We don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. We want our children to continue to come around us. You know, we want to be in favor with Aunt So-and-so because she's going to leave me a few dollars when she dies. You know, that type, you know, every one of us has got an excuse, and in our heart, I know you don't want to do anybody wrong. You don't want nobody
to go to hell either.
No, true. So that's why I'm talking about. If you sugarcoat some things about, yeah, whatever Bible you want to read, go ahead. You know, whatever religion you want to get in, whatever God you want to believe in, go ahead and believe in. You know, that sticker, coexist. Have you ever looked at that? It is terrible. You know, they've got every symbol of the religious world in coexist. And how in the world can you coexist with some of these people? Well, you know good and well right now, you cannot and you will not coexist with people like that. But see, I draw another line myself, and I'm very particular who I associate myself with, even in the grace message. In the doctrine of grace and who I put myself, because there's some people even that teaches Word of God right divided, they believe that you're going to go through the tribulation period. There's no such thing as a catching away. You know? And they believe the same Bible I do. And then there's some believe that you're going to go all through that and end up over here. Well, my Bible teaches me differently. You know, there's some people that don't even show a distinction. Now, how can I coexist or join hands? And we're going to look at some unity as we go through the lesson. I can't, guys. You know, that's the integrity of the Bible, my responsibility to teach and believe the words on a page. But you know what? You might be able to. You know, maybe I know each one of us is not, we're at different levels, are we not? In our maturity in Christ. And I'm not knocking you. I wouldn't expect you to be a cookie cutter of me. You know, there's only one me, praise God, hallelujah. I know some of you are poor, God. You know, but anyway, there's just one me and just one you. You have to stand in front of God yourself and be accountable. You cannot drag me. I cannot drag you. And as much as we talk and enjoy the Word of God and study the Scriptures, and you say, well, you know, like brother, you said, no, the Bible said. You know, so if anything, the Word of God is what you hold to God. He's going to judge you by His Word. He's not going to judge you out of anything else. Ephesians 4:12, he's not talking about that totality universal church, but he's talking about its manifestation on the earth. The earthly manifestations about the perfecting of the saints, about the work of the ministry, about the edifying of the body of Christ. And can I should be honest with you? I usually am. I hope you know that. You know, it's hard sometimes as work in ministry. You know, and I've said this many a time. You come in, you set the church up, you get things ready, and you're sitting in here by yourself sometimes. Then all of a sudden, all you happy faces come in here like, wow, this is exciting, you know, that type of thing. But if you yourself just showed up, we'd still have church, would we not?
Yeah.
You know, so you still got to be in the work of the ministry. And you guys are very, very important in that work. You know, I love the praise report, if you will, this morning about talking to another young gentleman and be able to, and one day he may show up here. Isn't that what it's all about? Isn't that what we want to be? You're talking about getting people saved. Isn't that what really is on your, shouldn't be on your mind?
Well, no.
Now, you know, the big Super Bowl's, you know, today, and a lot of that's on people's mind. Who are you going to pull for? Who are you going to do this? I ain't doing this one. I ain't going to do it. Well, you know, like I said before, I don't have no dog in this race, but I still like to see a good football game.
Amen.
You know? My wife's pulling for one side, I'm pulling for the other one. You know, she loses, she's still got her bags packed. Or did you unload?
Oh,
yeah, sorry, guys. But anyway, I was like, hey, you know, she can go across town. But anyway, just joking. But he's talking about whether it is a single local church or whether it's all the local churches. We talk about the church at large or all the saved people. And you know there's saved people in other churches. You know that, don't you? When you talk to them and they give you a clear testimony about Christ died for my sins and burial and rose again, can't you rejoice in that?
Amen.
You really can. But what's the next thing on your mind that you in the back of your mind, like,
are they rightly dividing?
And you know as I know, everybody divides their Bible. They're either wrongly divided or rightly divided, or don't divide it at all. Everybody does that. You know,
Flip Wilson.
What did he say?
Do you remember Flip Wilson, the comedian? Here comes the judge.
Here comes the judge. But the thing about, you know, we talked about, you open up your drawer, you got your knives and your forks, and you got your little forks, and you got your little spoons, and you got your big spoons. You know, you don't. I ain't looked in your drawers. I'm sure you just don't dump everything in there. So you divide everything that you have in your life. You know, these Thelma and Louise driving up from Florida yesterday, the day before, they actually, you know, rightly divided. I was going to say a roadmap, but they used a GPS system. And she had it on local routes, and she kept wondering, it's going to take me 14 hours to get, you know, go a 9-hour trip. Well, it would on local routes, so she didn't rightly divide her GPS to put it on the highway system, which cut it down to what, about 9 hours or something. So you have to rightly divide everything. So when you think about as carrying on the function as someone like myself, the pastor, a teacher, you're going to perfect the saints under my charge here. It is my responsibility to share with you the Word of God, rightly divided. It's my responsibility to give you unadulterated words of God with a simplicity, and then you, that doctrine gets inside of you, then you can discern what's right or wrong. And we can come and we can discuss all about it and stuff like that. And you know, I hope I never portray myself above learning. I'm forever going to learn till the day I die. And I'm wanting to learn the Word of God. I'm wanting to learn this dispensation of grace through Romans the Philemon. I want to perfect that. I really do. But it's going to take a long time. And I've got a lot. If Lord tarries and the health situation holds up, I want to learn this before I learn that. Are there anything wrong with learning what's in times past?
No.
How about ages to come?
No.
There's nothing wrong. But now when you're dealing with what you're going through life and getting older and stuff like that, isn't it wonderful to know how you can concentrate on things? You know, to me it is. I mean, we got the greatest textbook that ever been written for us. Even our youth back there, you know, you can learn from the Word of God and build up and grow until you know, they're sitting back there this big, you know, and they're looking up here and they're seeing people this big. One of these days you'll be up here, guys.
When Jesus Christ rose triumphant over all principalities and powers, we have to be militant to believe that, because there are those out here that want to take away that point. We have to stand fast in that, because when he said it's finished at the cross, it was finished, but when it says there he rose triumphant, we have to believe it, because see, Satan don't want us to believe that the war is over.
Yeah, and
the battle is over.
And I share this all the time, Leon, and the fact is Satan has an issue when a lost person becomes saved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But when you get saved and you're over here in your Bible and you're just mixing it all up and stuff, he has no issue with that. But when you stand for right division, that's when that steamroller effect is going to come hit you with all powers, because you know what it's going to do in your mind? It's going to put doubt in your mind, like, wait a minute, maybe this ain't true. I look around, there's 6 people in here. Or I look around here and there's 20 people in here. I look in here someday, it's just me in here. You know, is this message really right? Yes, it's right. And Satan will do anything he can. So you have to be, getting back to the militant thing, you have to make that view, and you get that definition inside of you. It makes a world of difference. Because you're going to have to stand or you're going to fall. You're going to fall to your knees. And then you're going to fall to your belly. You know, and all that stuff. And then you're just going to stay down if you feel defeated.
It's going to cost you friendships.
It's going to cost a lot. Those perfected saints will go out and do the work of the ministry that God gives them to do. Now, think about that for a minute. That God gives them something, give them to do. What work of the ministry that you know that you can perform here locally? Right, that's a good verse to stand by. But what work can you do that's going to enhance and grow a local church in the ministry? You're going to stand, for one, right? You're going to be militant. Well, what else are you going to do? What's that?
I said be the body of Christ.
Be the body of Christ, but share the gospel. Share Bible studies. Just, you know, who has fished in their life? Okay. Did you just, when you put that hook on that line, you have to tie it a certain way. If not, it comes off, right? So you tie the work. Did you just throw that hook out there with anything on it?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever thrown the hook out there with anything on it and see a bunch of fish that I don't need no bait? I'm just going to, you know, grab hook them. You ever done that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But how many times you go fishing without putting bait on it?
Zero.
We have the Word of God, and we have the truth. And when you do the work of ministry and you go out, I don't know if you still do, you still used to meet with guys on the week and, you know, do a little study or that type of thing, and they bring in all their bait, you know, and you brought your little tackle box, you know, and you got to put the right bait on there, because why? You know, if you're fishing for carp, it don't matter. You know, they'll eat about anything. Corn, you know, we're talking about oatmeal, dough, you know, chicken livers, you know. But if you're fishing for, you know, trout, there's a certain way you got to use trout bait. You know, some of them use flies. You know, we use salmon eggs. You know, you don't pile it on there. They won't eat it. But you just put it out there, and there's a certain way you got to catch those things. The work of the ministry in perfecting us, you have to, you know, go out and work, and that energizes the people to do the right thing. And when you get edified with the Word of God, you want to go out and work. Now, we talk about ministries all the time, how small some of us are, you know, and how exalting it is just a handful of people doing the work, and you're like, come on, guys, get energized. You know, you're under the grace message. When you was under law message, what did you do? You came in here with three-piece suits, you know, and driving shiny cars. I like that van, by the way. We can get a lot of people in that baby. Now, but anyway, I'm just saying, you know, you walk different. You talk different because you was under a law and you was told what to do. Now you're under grace, what happens? I'll do whatever I want to do.
Relax.
Yeah, you relax.
It's easy
to get blind. Yes. Yeah. And so I'm not, you know, pointing fingers at nobody. I'm just saying this, you know, when we enter the grace message, we should want to do things for the work. We should want to give out of who we are to Christ, you know. And, you know, sometimes I'm just as guilty. I'm preaching to myself here. But the thing is this, you know, as they do that in the church, not just the assembly, what churches are doing all over the world right now that believes the same way, we can rejoice in what they're doing in Tampa. We can rejoice what they're doing in California. We can rejoice what they're doing in the Netherlands and South Africa. When you hear reports from them, don't that kind of like excite you? You know? And to me it does. It's like, okay, they're doing the work. They're doing the work. And so the first thing for someone in my position to do, and for you, is to edify our assembly. And you know, and the thing about the prayer request today, I was thinking about the prayer request and all the, you know, the prayer requests that we had of the people aching and ailing, and some prayer requests. I like to hear that from you. And I want you to hear that. Because now you know what's going on with Stephanie. Otherwise, how would you know? You know, unless you talk to her every day. Or email or text her. So when you come together, now you know what we need to do locally as far as lifting up to the Lord. Now, are you expecting the Lord to do anything about that? Or are you just saying, Lord, you know, this is our prayer request because we want to know everything's going on with each other. You know, whether it's good or bad. There's going to be a tendency and a desire to want to be promoted within the ministry. You know how easy it would be to sit up here and go, look at me. Look what I'm doing here. Or, you know, Brother Walt get involved in the ministry and he's doing this and doing that and he wants to get promoted. You know, look what Walt, and then you get jealous of Walt because he's doing stuff that you wanted to do. You know, do we do that? We shouldn't do that, should we? You know, but I'm telling you, if you have it in you, you're not going to get a reward that you think about getting rewards in the flesh. When we have jobs, and many of you have jobs, 30, 40 years, some of us, you know, just starting jobs, whatever the case may be. Don't you want to be rewarded? Don't you want to have that pat on the back and your boss says, you know, you're doing an outstanding job. We're going to promote you. That's worldly stuff, isn't it? But you don't get that same promotion, if you think about it, if you're doing it for yourself in the work of the ministry. Jeremiah 45:5 says this, and seekest thou great things for thyself? There's a question mark there. Seek them not. So if I'm up here, Walt's down there, we're doing it for ourselves, that's the wrong motivation, isn't it? You would want to be here, you would want to support, you want to do everything you can before, because why?
Because Christ loves things.
That's the right motivation, isn't it? That I mean, to me, and I know, guys, we talked about this before, this grace message comes responsibility, and some of us don't want to respond to the responsibility, right? But does that make sense? Because if you don't respond the right way, it's no use to responding at all if you think about it. You know, you want to do the right thing. You want to share. So if you think about doing it to get great things for thyself, you might as well forget about it.
Right.
And you don't know how many times that myself is sitting, you know, thinking about studying during the week and preparing for Sunday and stuff. You know, I'm doing it for myself. And you know how bad that makes me feel? I can start picking. I can start pointing fingers. You know, this time, you know, why are you doing this stuff? You're not getting nothing out of it. You know what I mean? And then you realize, it's not about me, guys. It's about you and what the Lord is doing inside of you and what a difference you can make to that neighbor you was talking about. You know, just reaching out and touching somebody and talking with somebody. Are you doing okay today? How you know, that you may never even thought about talking to before. Don't matter what color barrier is, you know, because we need that. We need to, because if you can reach out and just say hello, I'm not talking about yourself in danger. You know, you got, you know, you see somebody hitchhiking on the side of the road these days, you're going to think twice about picking them up, aren't you? You know, back in the day, you could pick them up, you know, just going down the road, jump in the back of the truck, you know, go on. They didn't care. And they, you know, I'm getting off down the road. You know, that type of thing. I'm not talking about, don't put yourself in danger, because the Lord don't want you in danger, does he? You know, a lot of people say, well, Lord, you know, I thought the Lord told me to pick this guy up and now he's got me held hostage or something, you know. You know, I hear horror stories about picking somebody up. So who was, y'all know the person that was on the side of the road and helped want it, and the guy, the family took him there to work around, and he came back and he killed him or something? So you got to watch that stuff. You got to think of, you know, got to think of your safety.
Logic.
Remember this: if you want spiritual influence, and don't we all want spiritual influence?
Mm-hmm. Good
spiritual. Good spiritual influence. Then you get it in the local church, and you perfect the saints of the local church, and they'll go out and do the work of the ministry. See. You're getting built up in the Word of God, rightly divided. It's feeding your spirit the right way. And when you go to work and you got that family that you talk to, you know, I know your testimony. You know, you're not afraid to share anything. You know, that type of thing. And the work of the ministry will give you that spiritual influence. When you talk to that person and you see their lights and their eyes glow, and you're like, man, he may come to church. Or, you know, or he's getting this. You know, I got excited because I seen a vehicle come down the road that I go to the gym with. And I'm like, he's going to come to church today. And I got stuck in a red light, so I don't know where he went. You know, that type of thing. And I'm like, you know, I would have been excited if he was here today. You know, I'm excited that you are here today. But so how do I get that spiritual influence? Being with you guys in the Word of God. And if you want spiritual influence in the work of the ministry, that's how you get it. Because I know that many of us has been in churches that don't teach right division. And it's hard to get motivated the right way, isn't it? Any questions or comments?
Taylor says over and over, he says, why can't they see this? It's plain, simple, it's right there. He gets so, like, crazy. Maybe sometimes he